Join the conversation. On Cape Talk.
With it being Women's Month, we want to focus our profile segment this month on incredible women doing incredible things. And this week, our guests, yes, there's two of them, are making waves and have been for a while now on the local fashion scene by designing clothes and offering unique clothes buying experiences to women. Bridget Pickering and Di Forster are the dream team. They are a dream team. Behind local design label Rough Tongue and their store in Kenilworth, Therapy. Hello.
Stop. Good morning.
Get off the socials.
I'm putting the phone
Put the phone down,
immediately.
Drop the phone.
I should check mine wasn't silent.
Yeah, do that. Welcome, Bridget, Di. Hello.
What a treat.
This is exciting. I have to say, I first became aware of Rough Tongue 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We were rebranding here at Cape Talk and we all had to kind of get really dolled up to look super glam, which is not my forte generally.
You do it so well, though.
Well, I did well because you provided the clothes. And I, at the time, I was trying to hide a baby bump and I was worried also that nothing was going to fit me. And the dresser, we had a dresser, I felt very posh, gave me this stunning black shimmery jumpsuit, which actually you can see a little bit of in that picture.
Exactly,
she says, this
that.
Is radio. It doesn't work. When you say that picture, it doesn't
work. I'll take a picture, Liz. Yeah. Tell the people, show the people.
If you go onto the website, any pictures of me that are on the Cape Talk website are wearing this gorgeous Rough Tongue shimmery black jumpsuit. And when I asked where it's from, they said Rough Tongue. And I said, I don't know. And they said, no, they've got a shop in Kenilworth and all this stuff. And since then, I've been promising to come and visit you.
Yeah.
And of course, I then had a baby. And so I've schlepped around in leggings for however long. And then, of course, I was doing the book and I thought I need to not wear leggings to book launches and events like that.
Absolutely not.
And I remember it was a few weeks ago and I'd been rushing around doing mum things and I thought, I'm just going to pop in. I was in a kennel with, and Di, you were closing up shop, weren't you? And
I went fangirling.
But the funny thing was, is that I went, are you open? And she went, no, I'm closing. And I went, okay, don't worry. And I mean, I must have looked an absolute state. And as I was walking away, Di went, what's your name? And I thought, oh God.
No, she clocked you immediately.
And I went, Sarah Jane King. She went, oh, I love you. And I was like, well, that's good because you're going to have to sort me out because I'm a disaster, which you have done very kindly, I have to say. Let's talk about the brand. Bridget.
Yes.
Give us a history of Rough Tongue.
So Rough Tongue was started by Paul Botha. It's a Durban brand originally. And funnily enough, he was my very first mentor in fashion. And I then left to go to London for a very long time, found a husband and had children there.
Well done.
And we decided home was home. So I was always in contact with Paul when I came. I'm also originally a Durban girl. Coming back every year to visit the family, I'd go to Paul's shows, I'd visit him. And we would always have this, like, wouldn't it be fab if we ever got together again? And I messaged him. He was the first person. I had a toddler, twins and a toddler. And I said to Paul, when I come back to the Cape Town, I am working because I can't be a desperate housewife anymore. I'm going bonkers.
Yep.
And he said, babes, join me. You do Cape Town. I'll do Durban. And it was like a full circle moment.
Sure.
So we started working together and we took a very niche occasion wear driven brand that Paul had poured his life and soul into, and we started to prime it for retail. So Spree, which is now no longer, who was a huge, big, massive advocate for supporting local, they were our first biggest buyer. Chris Fillion, if you're listening, we love
you. Wow.
And unfortunately, a year into that, Paul passed away.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you now, I still feel him in this brand.
Wow.
When I'm going through my most difficult days, and I can hear him cackling, because he had a great cackle.
Sure.
But it was a legacy passed down and massive shoes to fill. And I don't believe I will ever fill those shoes because he was such a unique person. But he opened doors for me that I could never have done on my own in such a short space of time.
The brand has really just gone from strength to strength. I mean, if you type in Rough Tongue, I mean, first of all, your catwalk shows are just amazing. It's, I think for me, you know, and I really am utterly clueless about fashion. I don't, you know, and I think a lot of women also, I think I fall into that category of I'm clueless about fashion because I choose to be, but I'm also clueless about fashion because I don't, you know, I'm not a size zero. When I have been a size zero, I was very, very unwell. And so to now kind of get used to a body that's, you know, carried a child and is probably bigger than it's been for a really long time, it takes the enjoyment out of fashion for me, because I go into a high street store, because I'm in London.
And I was going to
a mall and you're kind of well-known. And I walk out miserable. Yeah. There's nothing worse for me than having to, like I've just had to get ready for events, which I kind of get asked to do. And I think, I hate this. I hate having to go into a changing room. I'm not going to say the brand because it's not fair, but a few weeks ago I went to a brand that's in a few malls. And I went in and basically I said, do you think you'd have anything that, like, you know, I am on the bigger side at the moment.
Curvy. We love the curvy.
And she sort of went, no. And I was like, sure, that's... And then I walked around for the rest of the day feeling absolutely miserable.
And then you came to us.
And then I did.
We embrace the curves. And we embrace anybody.
Talk about that, because, Di, you literally physically dressed me because I'm just completely incapable.
And I loved it.
But, I mean, the decision to make clothes for all women, talk about that, and to create clothing shopping experiences, retail experiences for women where they don't feel utterly miserable when they leave the store.
So I like to nurture our clients. I really do. I don't get around to doing it for everybody. And some people are just impossible because they've got such bad body dysmorphia.
Sure.
That
makes me so sad.
It's so depressing. We have clients that have got the perfect body that see themselves so obscured in the way they see themselves. There's not much that I can do.
Yeah.
But we love the client that embraces her body shape. We've got one client that is in her 70s. She wears mini skirts.
I love that.
And she really does not give a damn.
There are no rules anymore.
Completely.
That's what we've decided.
Yeah.
In our kingdom, there are absolutely no rules.
Speaking of kingdoms, how did you two queens meet, first of all?
So
she had no choice.
Yeah. No.
Seems that way. So tell the story.
We call her Lady Di, but she's actually Queen Di.
Excuse me? Queen.
She's actually the Queen Mother.
Lady to you.
And when Rough Tongue decided, because we were very much online predominantly, and then we decided we were given an opportunity to take over this retail space and never underestimate the power of a good frock.
Sure.
So, you know, buying it over a screen is one thing, but when you get those girls in, and be careful what you call your business, because therapy was birthed from us launching a Curve collection very quickly. Collection on the runway. We had every size on the runway, and that's where our business really kicked off. When I say we, it was Ludwig Bausch and myself at the time.
Right.
And never underestimate that what I can wear, a size 46 can wear, no difference in price.
Is that? No difference in price,
no difference in scrimping, showing those curves, and actually being, and we hashtag Rough Tongue Inclusive, because it gives me goosebumps even talking about it. Mm. We were opened up to a world where girls were going, like, it was that moment where you can't sit, the devil wears Prada, you can't sit with us.
Yeah.
And we were going, you absolutely can sit with us.
Yeah.
Because regardless of your shape and size, you should be walking out there feeling as good as anyone
else. Celebrating your...
So we were predominantly online. And with the shop, then you can actually physically take those girls in hand and give them a lot of love. So going back to be careful what you call your business, therapy is the psychology of women and shopping.
Yeah.
So if we ever do a book, Queen Di,
absolutely,
it will be literally the elephant herd and the psychology of women and shopping.
The shop is also my therapy.
Yeah.
And that's...
That's why she came in.
How did that happen?
I was selling skincare products at the time. And I contacted Bridget about selling my skincare products. And we chatted, and she was putting all these lotions and potions on her body. And I said to her, you need me to work in your shop.
She's very bossy. I'm very bossy. She said, I will be working
much
in the shop.
Much bossier than you. And we started working. I worked a few days, and it grew and grew. And then lockdown happened. And obviously, we shut down for a couple of months. And I had a tragedy. My partner passed away. And after a couple of months, about 2 months, Bridget and I had coffee, and I said, Bridget, I need to come back. I need the shop.
Wow.
It's been our therapy on every level.
And it's just you two, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't have staff. I mean, you've got staff.
No. But that's how it works, because we don't have staff. We give individual attention.
Yeah.
We nurture our clients. And it's just grown and grown and grown. We've grown the brands. I think we had 17 when I came on board. Now we've got 38.
And the whole reason for the therapy mojo was to create that platform where women, okay, it's, we don't just have only women in our store, sure. brand-wise, sure, of the sure. 38 brands.
Well, two men.
Yeah, but I mean, it's, that's not a prerequisite. Even though we are full female power, I think we have to be inclusive everywhere.
Sure.
But it was to create a platform where a lot of our brands, it's a one-man band. It's a her, and she's got to see a factory, or yeah, she's got yeah. people, the staffing that work for her. And when we shut down for COVID, we did the math at the time. And if our little blip on the retail radar had to go out of business, we calculated it would affect, the ripple effect would be probably 200 women would lose jobs.
Sure.
From the women who create your jewelry, to the women who do my sewing, to the women who do the cutting, to the women who do the packing and the floor. There's a whole list.
And
a little
their
ecosystem.
Families, their yeah, children. Yeah.
And a lot of those women that we work with are single mothers.
Yep.
So I use that lockdown moment to promote. And as someone told me, I overpost. But you know what? If it gets in your face, yeah. like those netball players, if I can be on the defense and get into your face, I'm going to get up into your face.
You're not going to forget
us. We have to teach you what local is. Yeah. And local's not just, because a lot, I think in the past, local meant not great quality and probably a little bit expensive. Now, you can go into Zara and buy a dress. You can come into therapy and buy a local designer brand for the same amount, and you are funding a local business.
Yeah. More than
so
that,
that's
Bridge,
so important.
You at Zara, you've got to help yourself. You've got to take it off. You've got nobody. If I go into Zara, I'll ask another customer what I look like.
No one's loving you.
Nobody's loving. With therapy, you get the love. You get the nurturing. I would rather be honest and tell a client, and I have, please, take that off your body. I can't look at you.
But we'll find you something
right
else.
Yeah, but we'll find you something else.
When I tell you it looks fabulous, you know you look fabulous.
Yeah, yeah.
And we honest and yeah. we're real. I'm almost 60. You know, my body's seen 4 pregnancies. It's tired. And I know what it's like to put an outfit and feel fabulous. Yeah. We embrace the leopard print, although we're a bit done with leopard print now.
Yeah. Oh, we're not.
We did.
Color print.
Leopard print. We embrace the sequins. You know, Bridge often says, wear your sequins to Pick and Pay.
But on that note, run, if you do see it. Me in Pick and Pay in full sequence, you know my life has fallen apart. So I'm trying to trick myself.
Fake it, baby.
She's
fake
having
it.
An actual breakdown.
100%. I'm actually having a breakdown. I'm about to put all my kids into boarding school. I'm about to put my husband, you know, on a fast yacht somewhere. Or maybe myself. I'd be to be on the island.
I'm with you.
But it is literally, and I always say, when you look at those women that are all, they look like they've all got it together. No one's got it together.
Absolutely not.
And women walk into our shop being called therapy and they just offload. And it is such a beautiful experience because everyone is saying the same thing.
Do you get, though, by the way, if you're just joining us this morning, we're talking to the dream team behind fashion label Rough Tongue and also their store in Kenilworth, which is called Therapy, Bridget Pickering and Di Forster. Do you get that, particularly with a boutique store,
yeah.
right, is that they can be hugely intimidating places?
Yes.
I only came to you because I, first of all, I'd worn one of the things and I knew I was going to be comfortable. But also I look at your social media and I look at how you engage and I was like, yeah, it's not going to be one of those stores, which unfortunately there are plenty of in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban.
And it's that pretty woman effect,
I can't bear
right?
it. And I mean, honestly, Di, when I came in, I was wearing, I mean, not even anything as nice as what I'm wearing today, which I'm wearing because it's clean. But I mean, I literally have been running around all day. I had tackies on and I thought I really didn't, you know, look the part,
yeah.
right? And I thought, this is going to be so embarrassing. And then when you were like, you Sarah Jane King, and I thought, oh, kill me now. This is so awful.
Darling, I was so starstruck.
No,
I didn't
know
just what you had
but
on.
But you know, it while they shouldn't be, they can be extremely intimidating spaces for people who feel they don't fit a certain
Absolutely.
Aesthetic or a certain economic category
sure,
or,
yeah.
or whatever. How have you ensured that somebody can walk in and not feel
and
that.
Wear their active wear and they haven't exercised.
And wear their active wear.
I think because we often arrive at work in our active wear and our hair on a bulla on the top, you know, dirty hair. Mm. We're not always perfect.
Well, you are. Di is. But I think that's where, again, if I'm in your face on social media, I'm really trying to get you used to our environment. So we do, we post videos, we talk about the brands, we talk about how exhausted we are.
Yeah.
We talk about the realities of life and being women, and and the struggle is real. So I think social media is a powerful tool just to put you at ease.
I think real, Bridget.
Yeah.
We are real.
I don't know how to do it any other way.
Well, I don't have a filter. I wasn't born with one.
No, she doesn't.
Genetically, I miss that.
But also the models.
Yes,
so let's talk about the models that you use.
Yes.
Because that's been a big thing. That's a big thing for me. If I'm looking at a clothing brand and all the models are tall, skinny, white women, I'm out.
No, out. Absolutely.
Out.
So Jeanette Sester, she's another girl you've got to get on. Well, you know her. She knows you well. You're great friends.
She was on with us folks about 2-3 months ago. She came into studio and spoke about her journey as I hate the term plus size model, a curve model. She's a hugely successful entrepreneur. She came in and we had such a great response to her.
She's incredible.
She really is such a powerhouse.
Yeah. And so she was another one. She was our fit model at Spree. And we walked in to have a meeting and there she was in our clothes, and she messaged me afterwards and she said, "You will put me on your runway."
Wow.
And no one says no to Juju. Juju? No one says no to you. Maybe your husband does. I think he does. But she was hugely instrumental in helping me with, you know, designing for curves is a whole nother ball game.
Why? Talk to me about that. Because a lot of brands say they go up to, let's say, a size, they call
a 40. A size 40.
Yeah. I was going to, yes. Or
extra large, double XL. Yeah, 16.
Right,
yeah,
16 or 18. Yeah. And then they go, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole customer, you know, a whole range of women who just aren't catered for. Is there and a lot of their excuses are, it's too expensive, too much material, it's a different, blah, blah, blah. What, you've done it though, so what?
Yeah, so our design process, so we always went up to a size 42, and when we looked at our sales figures every month, we noticed that the 38s and 40s were the fastest selling. And our 40s, because our sizing is not, you know, we've got a generous size.
Yep.
So our 40s, a size 42 could wear that. So it's stretched. And then we were asked by the plus size buyer of that business to design a plus size collection. So we had to do a rough tongue normal collection and a plus size collection. But she said, but you can't use your prints and you've got to stick to neutral colors and no bling. And so we did it. We did a couple of seasons, and it was really traumatic for us, Ludwig and myself, because we were like, "What are we doing? Yeah. We're offering this beautiful, you know, like live your best life collection, and then we're offering you burgundy and black and you know and dark based patterns." And then Fashion Week was looming, and we had this aha moment, going, "Well, if we are ready, and obviously this, we would use the same style. So you can't take a size 32 and grade it up. Doesn't work.
Right.
You actually have to start at your biggest size and then you grade it down because you've got to talk about, we had curve conversations.
That's so such a revelation. So
Juju was instrumental in opening up the doors on the curve world of modeling. We spoke to curve customers. We spoke to the models. We spoke to anyone that had a curve from a size 34.
Yeah,
you don't have to, you know, there's curves are at every size.
Sure.
And
still had curves at my absolute skinniest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's normal.
Yeah.
So having daughters of my own, I'm like, to be stick straight up and down, it's not realistic for any woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so to go back to your question, we had curve conversations for months and months and months with so many girls across the board about what they're comfortable in. So you can't design with an ego. You have to design for what women want.
Mm,
so it's the woman that wears your dress. It's not the dress that wears your woman.
Mm,
right? Mm, and that was the advice my mother gave me. I probably didn't listen, being
that.
A stroppy. I was probably a millennial in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a term. But so having those conversations, talking to these women, finding out what was their favorite fit, finding asking a million questions and then taking all of that, crunching it up, and then taking our rough tongue aesthetic, which, you know, which was blessed by Paul originally, and moving it on and creating every size. And then when we launched it down that runway, we had no idea in Joburg how people would react. And Livek and I stood backstage. I think we were actually holding hands, looking at the screen as every size went out. And the minute the curve girls hit that runway, the crowds went completely ballistic. And your crowds don't lie.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the beginning of going, you know, we've got an untapped market here where every girl should be able to wear exactly that one look. If that's a rough tongue look, every girl should wear it.
And a million women are going, hallelujah. are.
Yeah. And they really are. Talk about, and not that, you know, it's about all these celebrities who wear your clothes, but it is a reflection of the what you've managed to achieve, and also that you are dressing high profile people across a range of sizes. Yeah. Who are some of your peeps?
Well, let's talk about you.
And then,
you know, and then you've got Bonnie and Bully, and we've dressed Ingrid Irma Jones, and we do all the Eat Out presenters. So you've got Abigail Donnelly, you've got all those amazing people, Sam Woolidge. So these are all women with curves.
Yeah.
And not Bonnie.
Not Bonnie.
She's pure perfection.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got Cindy Nell. There are so many, but also we don't, when you meet these amazing women like yourself, you sort of move that starstruck bit over, and then you talk about, what do you want?
Yeah.
Because everyone's, and then, you know, you're traveling, you've got a lot of demands, you're trying to juggle. So these girls are women just like everyone else. And I think that's why you celebs all do so well, because we can all identify on you. So it doesn't really matter. I just add the sparkle to the end of it. But I mean, I think that will attract, you know, every girl loves that. Every girl's got Cinderella inside her. But I think you women make it real. Mm. So I think it's a great combination.
For me, it's you know, and I keep saying this, is that I'm not a follower of fashion. I wear what I feel comfortable in. But I can also feel comfortable in something that's fabulous. Right?
Absolutely. You have to comfort first.
So when
always.
I came in and I was like, I know what I want. I like leopard print and I like animal print. And you went, how about pink animal print? And I went, well, there we go. That's it. And that's and you know, and I have felt fabulous. And it's such a nice thing to be able to go to an event or do a thing and not think, oh, and I'm having to put out the same old.
And you've got to spank yourself to death, right?
The same old moo-moo that I've been wearing for the last however long. Listen, we're running out of time, but I just want to talk about where you see the brand going in the future, like what and collaborations, and how you choose the designers that you have in store, and what's your hope in that area.
Most importantly, it's something that we would be comfortable. I can't sell anything that I don't believe in.
Right.
If it's got to be comfortable, it's got to spark joy.
It has to spark
absolutely
joy.
Absolutely has to spark. It's got to make you feel better about yourself. It's got to camouflage. What do you call it?
Printouflage.
We're all about camouflaging what you have and making the best of what you have.
Yeah.
I find that such a delicious, wonderful challenge.
And we've got 38 brands to choose from. Yeah. And now we're going to have to, like, knock out some back wall because we want to get more. And
how
I think,
do you find the people that you have in the designers that you have?
I think there's so many. And we want, and Joburg, if you're listening, and Durban, if you're listening, we want out of town. We don't just want a Cape Town pool. We've got an amazing Cape Town pool, but we're looking across the board.
Still, and for our girls, yeah, something different.
You've got to know your customer. I think that's where you start. Know your customer. And then find out what she needs, and then you find those brands. And we are looking all the time. So we've got, Fashion Week's back on the agenda.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at even like the younger brands that are coming up. And as long as you're offering what our client is needing, and that's all women, then I think we've got a massive pool to choose from. But our 38 brands are sensational. They're hardworking. We're giving them a beautiful platform to share amongst each other.
Yeah.
We're doing retail workshops with them. We're doing therapy health events because our women are coming in and it's perimenopause and menopause.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
As long as you're listening, SJ, we've got to keep listening.
Sure.
Ear to the ground, and then we will identify a need and we will find that need. So if someone comes to me and says, Bridget, I need this, and I can't do it, I will find you someone who can.
Sure.
So that's how we've got to keep working. We've got to keep sharing and networking and just providing that platform, because it started off as exactly that. And I think that's, we're going from strength to strength, because you've got to listen and you've got to find out what your market wants.
Yeah.
An interesting fact, our average age of our clients is probably 45, 46.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We do have young, gorgeous, hot little girlies coming in. We love dressing
and
them.
And then we've got the nannies. We love the nannies.
We love the women that are 76 that come in and say, I had somebody the other day that was going to dinner on a cruise ship and she needed something with a sparkle. She was 75. She called me a girl.
High praise.
And I've been smiling ever since.
From her perspective, yeah. I was. We've got those women coming in that are 75 and they want to look fabulous and they want the sequin. You don't, those women don't go to Zara. No, I shouldn't say that.
So they don't go to
the waterfront.
Yeah, they come
to us, they get nurtured, and we find them something.
Yeah. And the pearl of wisdom, the biggest pearl of wisdom for all of our brands and all of our clients and all of us, is that one of our 8-year-old customers came in, and she is fabulous. She heard us all moaning and complaining about life and how hard it was. And she said, girls, today is the youngest you will ever be. And that is what we use. That is what we use on everyone. So, like, sure. I'll just leave that there. Like, live. Like, you've got to just wear the good stuff. Wear the sequins to pick and pay. Yeah. Drink out of the crystal. Wear the bling.
Sure,
don't save it because today is it.
I love that.
Like, today is it.
Don't save
those
it.
Those feel COVID special. Tracksuits are done. We are done. We did the tracksuit. Oh, it served a purpose. The leisure. What I call them, lounge suits. They're done. Come on now. Let's get
and when people say, where am I going to wear that? I go, pick and pay.
Yeah.
There's one across the road, love.
To do the school lift.
On the school run.
Oh, the state of me on the school run. The other, normally,
every woman.
Tragic. And then the other day I had an event to do, so I had to get... And I don't think they knew who I was when I turned up. Where's mummy? This is mummy. This is just what she looks like when she has to go somewhere. You see, like, stressed, disastrous mummy.
Multi-leveled mummy.
Yeah.
I just wear what's on the back of my bathroom door.
I largely do that.
People mustn't know that, honey.
They must.
I'm so sad we've got to end the conversation, but we have, because Michael Pedro is sitting there looking bewildered at the talk around fashion. But it's good.
We have been dressing your neck,
throughout the month. Our profiles guests are women doing incredible things, and certainly that's what our two guests this morning are doing and have been doing, and will continue to do. They are Bridget Pickering and Di Forster, the dream team behind the local design label Rough Tongue, and their store in Kenilworth, which is rather aptly called Therapy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.